Well, this morning I thought I might talk to you a bit about devotion. Devotion to the teachings of the apostles, to the fellowship of the church, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The father of all lies tries to tell us that devotion, the dedication of one's time and energy to the teachings of the apostles and to the fellowship of the church and to the breaking of bread and to prayer, is not really all that important. He tries to tell us that we can get by with an occasional prayer and that it will not hurt all that much if we don't read and learn about the Bible, and that a person doesn't really have to attend church or get involved in Christian groups to be a follower of Christ. I believe this to be an untruth. The secret of every growing church and the basis of every healthy spiritual life is an overriding commitment to hearing the Word of God and applying it to one's life. It is a dedication to the health and prosperity, both spiritual and physical, of one's fellow believers, and the desire to invoke the presence of God within that community and within one's own private prayer life. I am sure many of you have heard the saying, "The family that prays together stays together." We are all the family of God, and unless we pray together, unless we study and seek the will of God in the Word of God together, and unless we share good times and bad times together, we will suffer the fate that comes upon those who stay apart. We will be alone, and ultimately we will lose our sense of direction, our sense of purpose, our sense of faith. And that is happening. It is happening in all those places where individual happiness is prized more than righteousness, where pursuing material success is held to be more important than spending time in community, where golf on Sunday or watching football or taking the kids to a ball game is deemed more important than building one's relationship with God, where watching TV or going shopping for the weekend is deemed more important than sharing with one's brothers and sisters the joys and the concerns that we have, and praying together and sharing together those things which have helped us in God's world. I assume all of us here have sat before a fireplace or a campfire and watched the coals glowing red hot. And all of us know that if we take a single coal out of the center of the fireplace and place it to one side, it soon turns dull and gray, and its bright heat becomes first lukewarm and then cold, while the rest of the fire continues to burn. So it is with us. Separate a person from the Christian community, take them away from the place in which the word is proclaimed, bread is broken, and prayers are uttered, and soon the light of their faith grows dull, and the warmth within their souls begins to diminish. I don't believe we can be good Christians, or at least an effective Christian, a fully alive Christian, one who, as Jesus says in today's reading, has life, and that abundantly, if you do not listen to the voice of the shepherd who called you by name. How can you expect to do what is right? How can you expect to experience the blessings of God? How can you hope to minister to one another the love of Christ and feel that love return to you 30, 60, or 100-fold if you do not turn to Christ and listen to his voice? If you do not enter the sheepfold with your brothers and sisters, if you do not pray together and work together and love each other with the love of Christ, you can't. And the evidence of that is all around us. It is in the people we meet day by day who claim to believe in and love God, and yet have none of the signs of the abundant life that Christ promises to all who hear his voice and enter his sheepfold. Devotion, dedication, commitment. This is the secret of success in all endeavors. To experience life, and that abundantly, as Christ says we can, our focus must be on the teachings of the apostles, which are the teachings of God. The early church had this focus, and the results were tremendous. As Luke tells us in today's reading, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day they spent much time together in the temple. They broke bread from house to house and ate food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day God added to their number those who were being saved." Day by day, God added to their number. From that first community came the entire church, a church that survived the stoning of Stephen, the persecution of Paul, and the destruction of Jerusalem itself. The early church survived and prospered because the people within it committed themselves to one another and to God, who brought them together. The early church grew and spread like wildfire because those who believed sought God's presence and prayed for his will to be done in their midst, and not just one day a week, but each and every day. I wonder how many of us even pray each and every day, let alone seek out the fellowship of fellow believers and pray with them and eat with them on a regular basis. I wonder how many of us read the scriptures each day or even think about what it is God has said in the past to us, let alone seek to hear what it is he might be trying to say to us now in the midst of our busy routines. I am sure everyone here is also familiar with the expression, cool as a cucumber. It refers to someone who is able to remain calm and collected in the heat of life's battles. And believe it or not, the expression actually has its basis in scientific fact. A cucumber lying in the sun on a hot day is cooler on the inside than the outside. In fact, the center can be as much as 10 degrees cooler than the outside. Even without a thermometer, the temperature can easily be detected by touch. But the difference in temperature between the inside and the outside can only exist as long as the cucumber is attached to the vine. Once the cucumber is severed, it loses its ability to keep its cool. Like the cucumber, we can only keep our cool in the midst of difficult circumstances. We can only thrive in the midst of an insane world as long as we remain attached to the vine. Our vine is the fellowship of fellow believers and its head, Jesus Christ. In the vine, we have life. Jesus said, "I have the vine, you are the brothers. They who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus also said, "I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture." God has prepared a fold for us. He has made ready a safe haven for us and appointed a faithful shepherd over us. To enjoy that haven, we need to listen to the voice of our shepherd and together in the company of our fellow believers, follow him. And when we follow him, he will lead us by the still waters and to the green pastures, and he will keep us safe as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. His rod and his staff will comfort us. And the opposite is also true. When we fail to follow him, when we fail to listen to his voice and join ourselves with the rest of the flock, the waters will not be stilled. We will experience terror in the valley of the shadow of death, and our cups will not overflow in the presence of our enemies. We need to truly commit ourselves to God and His teachings, and to one another as brothers and sisters in Him, if we are to be as alive as was the church in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost. As we do this, as we pray and break bread together, Christ will do the rest. He will make sure our souls are rested. He will set a table before us in the presence of our enemies and ensure that we dwell in the house of God forever. He will do this because He is the bread of life and the good shepherd, the way to the door, and the resurrection and the life. Praise be unto our God and to our Lord Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. Amen.